Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 15th of September, recording at 9:05 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly steady. Mainland China was an exception, down a little bit. Among the new highs for the year were India once again, and also Singapore. The European stock markets were down pretty much across the board today, but very, very minor setbacks here, less than half of 1% for the most part. The Americas were mixed, a quiet day, but Wall Street closed not far off the highs of the day, up gains of 0.5% for the NASDAQ composite to a little bit less than that for the Dow and the S&P. Brazil is up. I see that index is back above 68,000 just. Long-dated government bonds prices were weaker, except for JGBs, which bounced on the news story of the day, which was very aggressive intervention. Well, I assume it was aggressive intervention. It was certainly a dramatic move by the Bank of Japan to weaken the yen, producing a key day reversal, quite a dramatic one. And elsewhere, the dollar was a little bit quietly firmer here today. Gold after very strong gains yesterday, traded in narrowish range today. Just currently down 75 cents to 1267.40. Platinum is strong, back up above the $1,600 level. That's a breakout point. It's up at 1610 as I speak. And not a break to a new high for the year, incidentally, but a breakout of quite a narrow range. It's close to it. Silver, 2061. The industrial metals were a little bit easier today, with the exception of tin, and tin has been very much the leader on this move overall, although nickel has certainly put in a strong performance. And crude oil, a little bit lower here today, a dollar lower, 75.77. The grain and bean complex, mostly steady. Soybeans notching up probably the better gains. Wheat was down a little bit. And anything else? Sugar. That's weaker in here today. I think most of the agricultural commodity prices, other than the soybeans, were a little bit easier. And rough rice was also up in here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, first, in terms of the stock markets, it's been an extremely good move for the developed country stock markets. They found support in August or early September above the July lows, and so registered a higher low and have gone back up to test the upper side of ranges, and in some cases moved above those ranges. The S&P is interesting because it's right up near highs within the range. Let me just make sure that I'm just going to bring that chart up here and make sure I get the levels right. Yes, the S&P has rallied right back to its June and August highs, and it would take a downward dynamic to reaffirm resistance there, but I think it's going to go through to the upside because we do have that higher low, and we do have the stronger performance from so many stock markets around the world generally. And of course, the ASEAN markets and India and some of the South American, Central and South American resources and producers had uncoupled several months ago from the overall Wall Street trend and have showed extremely good relative strength overall. Now, net it all out, and this shows money flowing back into stock markets at a time when we do often have some seasonal underperformance. Since most markets, including Wall Street, are still ranging, there is a real possibility that we could see that continue for a short while longer. But overall, these patterns show a buildup of underlying support, and therefore they look less toppy than they did earlier in the year. And in other words, that toppy activity turned out to be no more than the upper side of a longer and somewhat deeper trading range, lengthy consolidation, mean reversion. And the support building that's occurred, particularly following the July lows, and the strength that we've seen to the upside by leaders, is providing a global picture, which is, I think, really quite favorable. Now, how can this be taking place when the news coming out of the United States is so dire? Well, the United States has plenty of economic problems, and unemployment is one of the most important of them. But corporate balance sheets are generally in good shape, as we've been pointing out for quite some time in these broadcasts. Many U.S. companies, certainly the bigger multinational companies, are leveraged to the global economy. So if the U.S. was the sole engine of GDP global growth, then it would be in trouble. But because the developing world, or I prefer to say progressing world, is doing so well, that is helping the U.S. economy to avoid the double dip recession. So that's favorable. Monetary policy remains favorable also. So the stock market has actually held up tolerably well, I would argue, at a time when there's been a big net exodus from funds in the United States and to a lesser extent also within Europe. And that, again, I think is impressive that markets have not collapsed against that selling by private investors, have actually held up tolerably well. Well, it's liquidity that's a big factor behind that performance. And also, we have had a lot of buybacks over the years, and that's a factor as well. So where do I think we're going? Well, I've said for months that I thought we'd have a decent fourth quarter to this year and probably beyond, and I maintain that's still the case. And if that is correct, then another of my forecasts is that government bonds, if there's any bubble in the world here today, it's been in these long-dated government bonds. And the action of late suggests to me that that move is probably over. And the downward moves that we've seen recently, for instance, in US Treasury bond futures prices and in the futures prices of a number of other long-dated government bonds in the developed world suggests to me that yields have bottomed, bond prices have peaked, and that we're getting at least a reversion to the mean. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw U.S. 10-year yields, which dipped briefly down to 2.4%, I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't closer to 4% in within the next 6 months. So That's my preference for longs in equity markets, of concentrating very much on fuller money themes and high yielders. We like we've written a lot about high yielders in the last couple of months, and Owen's got more good work, excellent work on that subject in today's comment. And what else to mention here of significance? In terms of currencies, I can't overstate the importance, I think, of this yen intervention. Certainly, it was necessary for Japan's economy. Don't take my word for it. Look at what the heads of Japan's main exporting companies have actually been saying. And I think that they're going to hold the Japanese government's collective feet to the fire in terms of maintaining intervention or doing further intervention if required. Now, will that be required? Probably a little bit of additional intervention just to hammer the point home. But this was not safe haven buying in terms of traders picking up the yen over the last few months. I think it was mostly a momentum trade, and that's what we get in Forex. And today's huge upside key day reversal in the US dollar against the yen will start to change that chart pattern overall. We'll almost certainly get a weekly key reversal as well. And I think a lot of people will look at this and say, the yen has actually turned. It's bottomed near its all-time low against the, or I beg your pardon, it's bottomed near the yen's all-time high against the US dollar, and that the Japanese currency is now going to weaken. In other words, I'm saying that the momentum players are probably now thinking about reversing their positions, and some of them probably would have reversed their positions in here today. So, having seen a brief break yesterday and early this morning beneath the 83 yen level, I think we're going to see the dollar moving back up to the low 90s region, and I would expect that possibly before year end. What else to mention? I think that's the main feature as far as currencies are concerned, that the yen's strength has been capped by intervention, and we will now see a significant retracement of the yen's gains of the last few months. In agricultural commodities, I think the most important story by far concerns the grain and bean complex. Everything that I continue to hear from, and particularly from an informed source, suggests to me that the USDA has understated the actual situation quite intentionally with a policy of gradualism, not giving all the bad news regarding reduced yields at once, because they don't want to cause any panicky buying. So it's a gradualist policy, and but what I hear is that corn and wheat in particular are crops are in difficulty, and this is going to be a future problem for the global economy. It's not one yet. But if the chart patterns fulfill more of their potential, and given the size of the bases, they've only just begun to do that, and if the what I regard as informed fundamental reports that I've heard are accurate, then food price inflation is going to become quite a serious problem within the next 6 to 9 months, and that would be of course, inflationary rather than deflationary, and in the West, at any rate, people's mindset is very much in the deflation mode. What we would be seeing in the United States and Europe would be stagflation, that would create a headwind for stock markets, because it would cause, I think, Asian central banks and progressing market central banks generally to tighten monetary conditions to head off inflation, and they've already got an inflationary rather than deflationary problem, and it may well cause some of the developed country central banks to consider a less accommodative monetary policy. Now, I don't think that's an immediate threat, as I've said. I think it's a problem that we're likely to see over the next 3, possibly, but certainly 6 to 9 months. And that would therefore then become a headwind for global stock markets. In the meantime, I stick to my view that we're set for plain sailing here, fair sailing in stock markets in the fourth quarter of this year and probably into the first quarter of next year. So I think it's a case of make hay while the sun shines. And crude oil. The price has been held back somewhat by the availability of cheap natural gas, not least in the United States, but I think demand coming from the progressing economies and a gradual recovery in the West is likely to ensure that prices range sideways to somewhat higher. I'm still looking for crude oil to move from its current level, which is 75, 77, back up into the low $80 range. And I think that over the longer term, we'll see it higher. And on that note, an interesting day. Main feature, intervention to check the yen's strength. All the best.